see you with the Fiji water. Is that your favorite?
I like the Smart Water. I like the Dasani water.
Share, on the,
share the love.
Yeah, she doesn't fit in the cup holders.
Well, that's true.
It's a problem.
Happy birthday, Brad. Yeah,
thank
happy
you.
Birthday, Brad.
I'm still having them.
Yeah, that's good.
It's always positive.
Can you explain what happened with your steering tractor?
Yeah, something broke on our power steering pump right away. I was going into turn three, and I was like, that's a lot of smoke. And then I was like, well, he said we might drag the skirts, my crew chief Jeremy Bowens. Like, that seems like a lot of smoke. And I had about 10 seconds to process it where I'm like, I was going down the front stretch, and I radioed my spotter, TJ Major, said, do you see smoke? He said, I see smoke. I smell smoke. Right? And then shut down. So we came in and just replaced it all, and we were fine.
Was it a similar issue on 60?
No, I haven't talked to him, but I would assume so. Yeah.
You've done pretty basically everything in this sport. You've got a championship. You've won the other three crown jewels. Is it in any way, do you feel like, define any course for your career if you don't win this race?
I mean, it's it'd be a gap for sure, but I'm probably not looking at it from the not having. I'm looking from it from the more optimistic, positive side of having it. You know, it's a big race. Certainly the biggest purse, the biggest, media and fan attention. And, that makes it a race that, you just want to win, right? And whether it's once, twice, three times, it doesn't get old.
From my perspective, what does the
Daytona 500
mean to you?
I just see it as a prestige race. It's not a season performance indicator. It's a prestige race. You know, it's probably the opposite of a season, defining their signification. But the prestige is real. You know, it's one of those things that once you win, it people remember and it carries throughout your career.
I remember I've seen you say there's a few things you want to make sure you do in your career. The 500 is one. Michigan is one.
Yeah.
Say if Chris or Ryan goes out and they manage to win the 500, does it feel as an owner as if you've accomplished that, or does the satisfaction come to you as a client?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't been there. You know, I guess I'd have to walk in those shoes before I could really answer that question. I can tell you I'd be really proud of them if they were to win it too. So it's certainly a goal for me in my career to win races as a driver and an owner. And, winning one and not the other is, still an accomplishment for me, the way I see it.
Chris mentioned earlier how much of a better Speedway racer made him just by pointing out some of the things that once you pointed them out to them, it seemed pretty basic, but it was just one of those things I wasn't clicking for him previously. How do you take the experience and knowledge that, and success that you've had on Super Speedways and impart that on to your teammates to help improve them and get them to a more successful level?
Yeah, I mean, I just try to help them with things I see. I'd rather not go into any specifics, but, you just watch and point and kind of ask, all right, so how do, look, Chris and Ryan, they're great racers. They're winners. But like anybody, any great talent or athlete still needs coaching, and I try to coach them the same way I'd want to be coached. It's really, I guess, that simple. Oh, well, this time of year, the first. Yeah, the former rather than the latter, which is normal. I reckon a little bit to, having kids. When you get married, the first thing everybody asks you is when you're going to have a kid. And then when you have the first kid, you're like, oh, that's going to – people are going to stop asking that. And then people ask you, when are you having another kid? So it's always on to the next thing, and I understand that. Yeah, I mean, yes and no. I mean, when you're here and you're in the moment, and you want it really bad, those questions tend to come to light. But once the race is over, and you know, I think I you move on to the next, you know, task or challenge ahead, which, you know, when they load those haulers up Sunday night, hopefully Sunday night, when they load those haulers up Sunday night, like, it's going to be all Atlanta. Like, it's over. Daytona doesn't exist anymore. And that's some of the beauty to NASCAR season. We talk about the hard part, which is, you know, the grind of 30-some weeks. But one of the beauties of it is when you have a bad week, like, there's always another one right in front of you to recover from. And, you know, there's a chance to put it behind you and move on. Mhm. Yeah. Oh, well, it definitely would feel different to win another championship, you know, with, I'm in a different place in my life, in so many ways, personally, professionally, beyond. You know, that feels like another life, you know. It's, I'm sure anyone else would attest, it's, you know, I won that when I was 28, now I'm 40, so, you know, it's different. You know, your 20s to your 40s, and, you know, the things that you, that stand out is things you recognize and appreciate versus, you know, what you don't. So, you know, I'd love to be in a position to have that problem.
I guess, you know, following on that theme of things being different, what's been the most gratifying part for you over the last couple of years since you stepped into the ownership side of things as well?
Oh, it's always seeing people grow, being a part of other people's success. You know, it's kind of the ultimate form of altruism. You know, I'm fortunate enough to have my own foundation, and I've got to do charitable work, which is great. And I don't want to slam it in any regard, but the ultimate altruism to me is seeing people grow and seeing them be successful. And it's, you know, being a business owner itself is not just altruism, but there are altruistic aspects to it that I'm just proud to be a part of. You know, I love seeing, you know, young people that, you know, have their first success in their professional career, or older people that everyone had given up on, you know, refine success or rekindle or prove themselves. It's just really rewarding. You know, when I came to RFK in 2022, you know, a lot of people were not so high on Chris Buescher. And to see a guy like him, you know, since then he's won 5 races in 3 years. Like, that's pretty good. That's hard to do. And so I'm really proud of seeing that for him. And, you know, there's all kinds of stories throughout our company. I'm not trying to just pick one, but that's certainly the most rewarding.
Is Priest another example of that, then, of somebody that, you know, maybe some people have given up on or don't think can be successful in the way that you guys believe in him?
Yeah, I think he's a perfect example. You know, I hope to do for Ryan Preece what we've been able to do for Chris, which is establish him as the great driver and potential champion he is. Oh, there's, you know, I don't know if I can give you a short answer on that. You know, I'll shoot at it, Dev, but, you know, there's multiple pieces that Ryan brings. He gets us to a spot where we can get a third team off the ground with somebody that understands what it takes to be successful in motorsports, who, you know, candidly fits our budget to do it. Who has the work ethic, hunger, desire to achieve it. I don't know if we could have done any better than Ryan. Like, you know, if you said pick anybody you want, like, I feel like we were very fortunate to get him. And his hunger, his dedication, his work ethic has, you know, proven itself. We've had a terrific offseason with him. I've seen him grow a lot, and we haven't even got up to the racetrack. I'm really optimistic and hopeful for him that, you know, he can finally have the opportunity to prove why he's worthy of his spot in this sport.
Just recently, this past weekend, we saw Carl Edwards inducted in the NASCAR Hall of Fame. Now, when it comes to the two of you, a lot of people remember Chase Elliott, but remember you two a very certain way. But I was wondering, are there any moments or stories that Carl can share in light of him going to the hall that people may not know about?
Not really one that I can think of off the top of my head. I mean, I just really appreciate it. Well, you know, before Carl and I had our rivalry, he was probably the guy I looked up to the most. Carl, to me, this is probably somewhat controversial. Carl, to me, is the best race car driver I've raced against. You know, I've raced around a lot of great drivers. Carl was as talented as anyone I raced against. As you know, he has the work ethic, the skill set to be successful. He certainly pushed me to be better. And I really respected that part about him.
What do you see in Carl there that makes you place him even higher above Chip Ford and Jimmy Johnson trying to scoop that?
It's a good question. I thought he had a good level of aggression, was really good at understanding risk versus reward, really good at bringing a team together, had the ability to outperform his cars, which is super important when you, to me, look at drivers. Carl in his prime was as good at, or better than anyone that I see in the garage area today. He was really good at managing, the cars with big horsepower and the cars with no horsepower. Just very complete driver in every aspect, on the track, off the track, different tracks in the circuit. I mean, just every aspect. You know, if I could go back through time and I was rebuilding RFK and you could pick drivers from different eras, he'd be the first draft pick. No, I think he's been pretty clear that chapter of his life is come and gone, and I respect that for him and about him.
You know, he was talking about how, yes, he's very competitive, but he said he learned that without other competitors, you can't race.
Yeah.
He thought he was not as good to his brethren that are other race car drivers, and he's kind of hard on himself about what he learned being gone. I don't know if you've heard any of that, but he said...
A little bit. I didn't watch the whole thing. Kind of back to what we were saying earlier, like, we're head down on Daytona, right? You know, and putting a team together that can go win the Daytona 500. So one day later in my life and career, I'll have the opportunity to, partake in more of those moments, but I'm not there right now.
Well, it's interesting you say he's the best race car driver you've raced against. How about currently? Who's the race car driver that you think is the toughest? And now you could say your fellow drivers from RFK, but
yeah, probably Joe Logano. I mean, you know, he's winning races and winning championships. At levels that are pretty incredible. And I think he deserves that credit.
I'm curious, reuniting with Jeremy, how has that relationship rekindled? I assume that it's been pretty, I would assume that it's an easy transition because there's familiarity, but
yeah. It's been good. You know, the thing about Jeremy and I is, you know, we rekindle our relationship with a lot of trust. And that's always one of the hardest things when you have a new kind of driver crew chief dynamic is establishing the trust and building that trust. And, we're both in unique time and periods in our careers where we've worked together. We had a 3-year gap, I guess you would call it. But we didn't lose respect for each other when we left working together, right? When I left working with Jeremy in 2021, it wasn't because of him, right? I left for a different opportunity that was much bigger than the team or the people that I was around. And so I think we never had a real breakup. I don't know if that makes sense. It's kind of like getting back together with an old girlfriend, but we didn't break up, I don't know what happened, like Castaway or something, back after 3 years. And it's nice to have that respect and familiarity without the baggage of a breakup. And I guess that's probably the best way I could look at it.
There's no having to, like, fix things.
Yes, yes, 100%, yeah, yeah.
Because it's with the next gen car as opposed to the Gen 5 or the Gen 6 car when you left, how have you seen him integrate himself into our PACE program?
Yeah.
With the resources that you guys have there?
Yeah, I mean, obviously... He came from the company that's won the last three championships, so pretty strong knowledge of what it takes to be successful, and he's pushed our company in every direction, and I'm really excited about, you know, not just it being a new season in 2025, but at RFK we've had a tremendous off season in so many different ways, and Jeremy is one big piece of that. You know, I talked about Ryan earlier, some other key people we've added. We lost a handful of good people, which isn't pleasant, but we added a lot of really good people, and I think that's going to manifest itself in our results throughout the season.
So today is your birthday,
mm-hmm.
and I want to wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you, Claire.
Yeah, and, you know, you've got kids to give you hugs, and you're a professional race car driver. In your media day, and it's your birthday, and you're going to qualify. So, how do you celebrate your birthday?
I'm not going to celebrate it today. I'm trying to save that for Sunday, Claire.
Oh, you're going to have a birthday on Sunday?
Well, I'm going to have a birthday party in Victor Lane is my goal, right? So, here's the thing. I got to go buy myself my own present, which I guess is common as you get older. You have to buy your own birthday present. So, it's a really expensive birthday present, but it's worth it.
But what a celebration.
It'll be a great party.
You winning as a team owner instead, would that be satisfying?
Oh, I mean, I'd be really happy with any type of success or win here Sunday, right? You know, obviously I want to win the race for myself. I'm hungry to do that. But I would certainly relish the opportunity to stand in victory lane with my teammates as well. Oh, yeah, you know, just you hate not living up to your potential, and the team had a lot of potential, but they'll have it again next year. I mean, every year is important. You know, every year a race team is make or break, and you're either growing or you're dying. We have a huge growth period in 2025. We've added a lot of talent. We've added key partners. We've added a third car. This is a big year for us in so many ways. But really the big year was 2024, which did this for us. Now we're getting to reap what we've sown.
Brad, President Trump might be here on Sunday. He was at the Super Bowl last week. Just your thoughts on him being here. I know he's been here before, but just sort of being here and all that stuff that comes with it.
I mean, I think any time that we can, you know, engage broader communities in the motorsports community, it's great. It's good for us. It opens up the sport. And whether the president was blue or red, I'm fairly indifferent to that. But it's nice to be recognized as a sport in such a way.
Does it speak to the largeness of this event?
Yeah, I think it speaks to the cultural significance for sure, and something that we hope to build on.
Brad, drivers aren't afraid of speed. What are you afraid of?
What am I afraid of? I'll tell you, you're gonna get a chuckle out of this. So I have three kids. My youngest two, one's five and one's one, every once in a while, they will get in the shower together, and my one-year-old will lose control of his bowels, and I will hear them yelling, my daughter yelling, "Dad!" And that's when I'm like, oh, no, like I've got to go clean up the shower. That is, right now, my number one fear.
No,
but when you hear that noise, I know exactly what it is.
I'm
like
3.5-year-old, so I can relate.
Yeah.
Very true.
Because now I got to go clean it up, and you're like,
oh. I get
you. Yeah. It's a story only a parent can understand. You didn't think I was going there, did you?
No, and I don't have kids, so I'm like, I don't know the sound.
Oh, the sound of when your oldest kid yells, Dad! And you're like, and you know what it is,
well,
and you're doing that walk, and
that.
You're like, I have this. I'm ready for this. But you're really not? Yeah. No.
I'm not sure I can follow that up well, but...
Okay. Well, here's your chance.
How much tougher is it to predict the winner of a Daytona 500?
Ooh, oof. Well, I'm not an odds maker, but if I was an odds maker, this would be the race where I looked at the casino and went, yeah, sorry guys, you're probably going to lose a lot of money here. It's a really difficult race, probably the most difficult race of the year to predict who's going to win. You know, just a lot of uncertainty to it, particularly where it sits in the schedule. The drivers are more willing to do different things, and more, there's more chaos and calamity. And I think that just adds to the uncertainty.
Is that perhaps added the uncertainty with the parity in the cars over the last 3 years?
Yeah, I mean, the parity in the cars is a little piece of it, but I would say it's more the style of how the cars race. Yep.
When you have, when you present a potential partner with the opportunity to sponsor not one but three cars in competition, what sort of value does that give, and how do you think that helps the company?
Well, I think first of all, we run the company as 1 3-car team. Which means we share everything from the competition side to the corporate side. And sponsors is probably the most visible aspect of that mentality. I think it builds strength to our partner relationships, allows them to have access to all three teams, which I think is fun and somewhat unique to RFK. And it provides a lot of certainty for our employees. Because if one particular partner leaves, the way we're able to mix and match it's not the death for our program. So I'm really proud of us for doing that. It's a little bit of a headache for the marketing and comms team to be able to manage it all, and it's a lot of photo shoots. But I think ultimately it works for us. No problem.
Find everything at the supermarket that day?
I sure did. Good to see you again. You shortened it up a little bit here.
Older you get, the shorter your hair.
Ah, just be glad you still have it.
Yeah, well, lucky from that standpoint.
Yes.
Yeah, how bummed were you about the money?
I was disappointed, but, you know, I set a low bar, and so they had already surpassed it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, it really was a bad time to have a bad
day. Yep, bad day to have a bad day. Yep.
All right, man, see you.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you.